Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we'll hear from Jess Michaels, a survivor of childhood sexual abuse and sexual assault connected to Jeffrey Epstein. She spoke yesterday at the Voice of Freedom Forum, put on in downtown Eau Claire by Fierce Freedom, the anti-human trafficking education organization based in Eau Claire. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Jess Michaels, brought into Eau Claire by Fierce Freedom for an event, a small event on Friday at the third floor of the library, a handful of people, legislators in that direction. There were a handful of folks, and then also close to 200 people at an event Saturday, 9 to noon yesterday at Valley Brook Church in downtown Eau Claire. Fierce Freedom billed the event as the Voice of Freedom Forum, featuring, as I said, Jess Michaels, a survivor of childhood sexual abuse and sexual assault connected to Jeffrey Epstein. I spoke with Michaels yesterday after the event and began by asking her for her take on it.
It was wonderful to get to spend time with a small number of people yesterday and really get to know people in the community that are really trying to create change from the legislative level, from the nonprofit level, from the town level, from the state level. So that was a wonderful event. And then getting to spend time this morning for 3 hours with a wonderful audience who not only sat through my time of sharing my story, but then stayed with us and did a Q&A where they got to ask questions and I got to share. It really filled my heart in a way that I don't necessarily feel when I'm up on Capitol Hill just doing press conferences and meeting with politicians. It felt like I was in the heart and the soul of a town and among people that really cared.
And so I appreciate you taking some time to unpack it, give kind of a review. This is kind of unexpected. We were going to bring highlights from the event, and that wasn't necessarily as possible. Well, one of the, and for me, I love interviewing, and so there were some questions I maybe didn't get to. So I'm going to begin with one of those, and that is, was Jeffrey Epstein just a sick, evil unicorn, or do you believe that others are carrying activity similar or worse to what he was a part of?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Mark, because I believe it's both. I think he was a sick and evil, diabolical psychopath, and I think he attracted the same and the same type of people surrounded him. And I do personally believe that this global sex trafficking ring is still going on. Nothing has changed. Just because he is no longer here, just because Ghislaine Maxwell is in jail, I believe that nothing truly stopped this, the largest global sex trafficking ring in history.
And you've said some striking things over the last couple of days. Yesterday, a handful of people were with, a larger group today. You shared your story, and then also we had Q&A, both Cap Morgan and I and the audience, but one of the things you said that I even asked you about, you said in terms of sexual abuse in general, you said the monster doesn't look scary. And then you went on to say some things. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I can definitely elaborate on that. And one of the things that I do in my my speeches is I do a standing activity where I ask if anybody...
That was powerful.
Because we actually get to see if you or someone you know has ever been sexually assaulted, abused, or trafficked, please stand. And always, like, never fails, Mark, the majority of the audience stands. But the second question is, if you or someone you know that this happened to, if they knew the person that abused them, it wasn't some stranger in an alley, raise your hand. Almost all of the people that stood raised their hand. And that is always incredibly impactful to me and validating and a reminder that the people that are doing the harm are doing it first by pretending to love and care for the person. They're not coming in in an abusive manner. They're coming in with kindness. They're coming in with love bombing. They're coming in with solutions. They're coming in with, how can I help? How can I help you? What can I do to make your life better? How can I take care of you?
Yeah, and that's so confusing. And you say about Jeffrey Epstein that he was an expert at exploiting a vulnerability.
Yes, yes. He was a wonderful phrase that I actually heard someone else that said this on a TikTok once, and I just thought it was brilliant. She said, they know how to extract value from another human by exploiting a vulnerability. And that extracting value is sometimes noticed right away, and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it takes a while to recognize, wow, this relationship with this person is draining me, or it's harming me emotionally, physically. This isn't right. But it can take a while to actually experience that.
As far as your story, as I heard it some Friday and then today, Jess Michaels, you talked about having been a dancer at 22 years old. You'd been in Japan for, I think, 6 months prior yeah. to your learning about Jeffrey Epstein from a roommate of yours.
Yes, yes. So I was a working professional dancer. And I remember when I was talking with some attorneys, they're like, oh, so you were an aspiring performer. And I said, no, I was a very successful working professional dancer. And a model. I lived in Tokyo. I lived in New York City. And in both those cities, I was thriving. I was doing movies. I was doing TV. I was doing magazines. I was working with a dance company. I had worked my very first job on a cruise ship. And one of the parts of my story that I like to share is that the night before I was raped by Jeffrey Epstein, I was sitting on the floor of my Brooklyn brownstone apartment, and I was reading my name on my paycheck for being a backup dancer for Aretha Franklin. I was successful. And a lot of people assume that this happens to a different kind of person, somebody that's forlorn or someone that is not successful. And it really is so untrue. It's just not a fact. It can happen to anyone at any time. There isn't even an age barrier. There isn't a demographic that it happens to more. It literally happens across the board to anyone.
And again, yeah, you had that confidence, that background you wouldn't have thought. And that's where it's just the evil of this. And ultimately, it devastated you and put you in terms of the post-traumatic stress that you dealt with for many years. You were really a different person on the other side of it.
It was devastating to my sense of self, the identity of who I believed I was becoming as a new adult in the world. And it most importantly took away my trust in my ability to take care of myself and my trust in my ability to succeed. So here I went, you know, July 8th, I'm feeling on top of the world and thriving. Well, on July 9th, Jeffrey Epstein pretty much took all of that away.
And again, you had maybe some friends who knew about a job opportunity or this roommate that you maybe years later would reconnect with again. But the fact is, in terms of your life, you kind of stuffed it down and didn't really, you tried to do the best you can over many, many years until within the last decade or so, right?
Yeah, I didn't really even address what had happened to me until I saw Julie K. Brown's article in 2018, Perversion of Justice. And it's where those first four brave young women came forward, Virginia, Michelle, Shantae, and Courtney. And they shared that they were sexually abused and trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. And it was the first time, Mark, that I ever understood that I wasn't the only one he raped. For 27 years, I thought I was the only one Jeffrey Epstein raped.
Yeah, just say that one more bit, because that's a really significant fact. For 27 years, you thought you were the only one that was raped by Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. For 27 years, I thought I was the only person.
So how mind-blowing was it to read that article then and have it go, wow, that's the guy?
Oh, yeah. That was what was very bizarre about it was the complexity of the emotions, because at the same time that I'm crumbling, where I'm actually facing that this thing happened and it destroyed my life, I'm reading these young women's stories and I'm going, oh my goodness, it was never my fault. I wasn't the only one. So I'm feeling vindicated. At the same time, I'm facing the worst thing that had ever happened.
Hmm. And so you have become one of 1,200 or more Epstein survivors, and you have come to know more of them. And we've seen really historic developments in recent months, haven't we?
Historic. By the time that the Department of Justice put out their note, they put out a letter, and I remember it very, very vividly. It was the weekend of July 4th. They put out a note saying, this case is closed, and these files are going to be sealed. And I was devastated, because I know everybody had been talking about release the files, but honestly, Mark, you know what I was waiting for? I was waiting for arrests. I was waiting for somebody else to be arrested, and that wasn't happening. So then these two representatives, Thomas Massie, Republican, and Ro Khanna, a Democrat, came together, both sides of the aisle, and they joined in pulling out this antiquated procedure called a dispatch petition, something that nobody thought would pass. Barely ever been used in many, many decades. And they wanted to petition Congress to go for a vote to release the Epstein files. It was called the Epstein Files Transparency Act. Nobody believed it was going to work. Nobody believed that this could actually happen. And from August until November 18th, as Epstein survivors, we all came together. We worked really hard behind the scenes, meeting with any representatives and senators from any side of the aisle that would listen to us. And we spent those months with those politicians, with our attorneys, working to get Congress to pass that law. And on November 18th, not only did it pass the House with a near unanimous vote, it was just one guy that didn't vote for it, but that same day, the Senate came in, and it was a unanimous vote. So a near unanimous bipartisan vote, historic moment, happened in Congress years. That's pretty short, going from August to November.
Well, Massie faces two opponents in a May 19th Republican primary. Jess Michaels says she thinks of the Kentucky congressman as a hero.
He is. When you think about what he is doing right now, standing up against his own party to do the right thing. And that's why it should never have been politicized. But what he is doing, particularly him and his office, because we've spoken to many of the staffers and we love them. They are working so hard to do the right thing with this issue. I am continually inspired by his bravery.
Hmm. You have, along the way, you have created an app that is unique. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thank you for asking. It can be found in the Google Play Store and the App Store on Apple. It is called #WithYouToo. So just like you have #MeToo, it's #WithYouToo. It is a social safety app. It is meant to help young people understand how to find their safe people, how to check in and see how everyone's doing in a really low-lift daily check-in on people's moods, their capacity. And then when you've done that, because you've created a safe circle with those four people, it's by invite only into your circle, then you you start to understand who's there for you, when they're there for you, and you start to feel even safer with them because of these daily connections, so that if something were to happen, if there was some kind of relational harm, some kind of sexual harassment, abuse, assault, trafficking situation, there's an alarm button in there. You can actually press the support alert and activate Sexual Assault First Aid Kit, a digital Sexual Assault First Aid Kit in the app. And your team of your safe circle of three other people is going to know exactly what to do to help. Huh. I want to tell you one thing that I think is really fascinating that people get wrong about the app, that everyone assumes that the app is for victims of sexual assault, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. The app is for everybody else. It's for every single person that wants to know how to be a good friend. And I think that that's a really important distinction, because one of the things we need to do as allies is try to lift some of the burden off of victims and just be really good friends.
Hmm. Very good. And again, to just go to with you too, it's hashtag with you too, T-O-O, with, hashtag with you too, to learn more about that app. And finally, you said, I think, in the talk this morning in Eau Claire at Valley Brook Church on behalf of Fierce Freedom, you said, Jess Michaels, that the biggest myth that you hear all the time is we can't heal. Why don't we close with that? Why do you say that's the biggest myth?
Well, we've learned so much from a neuroscience perspective, right, on trauma responses, how the body keeps the score. It's a book. But the other thing that we've learned over the last couple of years with neuroscience is that the neuroplasticity of the brain really allows us to heal. And for the longest time, the myth was you are stuck with this as a life sentence, tragedy, trauma for the rest of your life, and nothing will heal it. And I'm going to firmly disagree. I did not start getting good therapy until 27 years after my assault. I have had a really incredible therapist for 8 years, and I have experienced enormous, enormous levels of healing to the point where I could stand on a stage and be able to tell you what happened and not re-traumatize myself and hopefully not traumatize anybody in an audience.
What's it like for you looking back to who you were for all those years before you got help and hope and healing?
Oof. Incapacitating emotions. Mm. Incapacitating anxiety. Fatigue levels that I didn't understand. My inability to stand up for myself and speak up for myself. My inability to talk about this topic lasted probably 10 minutes. That was the length of time that I had that I could handle talking about this topic was 10 minutes. And then I would have physical reactions. I would get headaches. I would get stomach aches. I would have to take a nap because the fatigue would overwhelm me. It was pretty devastating, which is why every time I finish an event like this, you know, it feels like not just a fulfilling to my heart, but it feels like such an accomplishment and a reminder of how far I've come since I was that 22-year-old girl.
You sure have. Well, as I said to you at the close of the event, you are a wounded healer. You're a hero in my mind. And thanks so much for all of your courage, you and all of the Epstein survivors, what you're doing. And let's continue to fight the good fight, okay?
Thank you so much, Mark. You guys are doing a great job here in Eau Claire.
Again, our guest on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, Jess Michaels, a survivor of childhood sexual abuse and sexual assault connected to Jeffrey Epstein, brought in as the keynote speaker at yesterday's Voice of Freedom Forum, put on by Fierce Freedom, an anti-human trafficking education organization in Eau Claire. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening to this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.